over the counter without a prescription.
A friend recommended Entrentil, and I had great results. I was so bloated and full, it was miserable. But the product started to work almost immediately.
Entrentil is not another probiotic or digestive enzyme. It's made from a patented combination of powerful polyphenols. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Entrentil turned my holiday bloating right around.
Eat and be merry this season with Entrentil. Find Entrentil at Amazon.com, your local retailer, or for a special holiday offer, go to bloat411.com. That's bloat411.com.
Entrentil.
The long-awaited Inspector General's report examining Russia collusion and the alleged FISA abuse that led to it will be released in December. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports.
The Inspector General's report to be released before the end of this year. South Carolina Senator Republican Lindsey Graham says Michael Horowitz will testify December 11th before the Senate Judiciary Committee. The detailed report should shed light on the Russia collusion investigation and the alleged FISA abuse that led to it.
The Senate is urging President Trump and the administration to support the protesters of Hong Kong. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I would encourage this president, who has seen Chinese behavior for what it is, with a clarity that others have lacked, not to shy away from speaking out on Hong Kong himself. The world should hear from him directly that the United States stands with these brave men and women.
The Kentucky Republican on the Senate floor today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $100.
Programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Nami Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. Nami Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Debemos luchar para lograr un estado mental de conciencia sobre nuestro presente, con aceptación, sin enjuiciamientos y apertura mental, que se asocia a las sensaciones de bienestar y plenitud. Estás en sintonía con Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio. Lauren Feliciano le da la bienvenida a este, su programa La Salud Mental Importa. En nuestro día de hoy trataremos el tema de trastorno de estrés postraumático. También es llamado TEPT por sus siglas en español. Según el Instituto Nacional de Enfermedades o Salud Mental, este es un trastorno que algunas personas presentan después de haber vivido o presenciado un acontecimiento impactante, terrorífico o peligroso. Se sabe un poco más de él porque muchos de los soldados que van a la guerra sufren de este trastorno. pero siempre ha existido, simplemente porque a nosotros los humanos, de una forma u otra, nos llegan esas situaciones de terror o inesperadas, tsunami, temblores de tierra, guerras, etc. Es natural sentir temor durante una situación traumática o después de esta. Este temor provoca muchos cambios en el cuerpo y situaciones que para responder al peligro, ya que de cierto modo nos ayuda si estamos en peligro para poder salir de la situación. En esos casos cuando sentimos que esa adrenalina nos invade. De todos modos, esta respuesta de lucha o huida es una reacción típica en los seres humanos y en los animales también. Es la forma en que nos expresamos frente al peligro. Casi todo el mundo tendrá una serie de reacciones después de una experiencia traumática. Sin embargo, la mayoría de las personas se recuperan de esos síntomas de forma natural. Es posible que a las personas que continúan teniendo problemas se les diagnostique con el trastorno de estrés postraumático, OTEPH, por sus siglas en español. Las personas con este trastorno pueden sentirse estresados o asustados, incluso cuando ya no están en peligro. Los síntomas suelen comenzar en los 3 primeros meses después del incidente, pero a veces empiezan luego, más tarde. Para que se considere que se trata de este trastorno, los síntomas deben durar por lo menos 1 mes y deben ser lo suficientemente fuertes o graves como para interferir con las relaciones o su trabajo cotidiano. El curso de la enfermedad varía de persona a persona. Algunas personas se recuperan en 6 meses, mientras que otras tienen síntomas que duran mucho más tiempo. En algunas personas el problema se vuelve crónico y persistente. Un médico con experiencia en ayudar a las personas con enfermedades mentales, como un psiquiatra o un psicólogo, es la persona adecuada para diagnosticar esta enfermedad. Podemos leer, podemos comentar, podemos hablar, pero solamente un médico capacitado es el que puede dar el diagnóstico. Para recibir dicho diagnóstico, un adulto debe tener los siguientes síntomas durante cierto tiempo o, como dijimos anteriormente, más de 1 mes. Volver a vivir el acontecimiento, o lo que en inglés muy popularmente le llaman flashback. Esto no es más que volver a recordar lo que le pasó en este momento, cuando en realidad ya el hecho ha pasado, pero se quedan la persona recordándolo como si fuera real. Y puede ser con el dolor, con los gritos, con los llantos. A eso es que se le llama flashback. Algunas veces tienen ciertos síntomas físicos como dolor, palpitaciones, sudores, pesadillas, pensamientos aterradores. Los síntomas de volver a revivir eso pueden causar problema en la rutina diaria de la persona que lo presenta. Estos síntomas pueden generar pensamientos y sentimientos de la persona, las palabras, los objetos o las situaciones que hacen que ellos recuerden el episodio. También pueden desencadenar síntomas de la reviviscencia, como los síntomas de evasión, que se manifiestan cuando se mantienen alejados de esos lugares, de esos objetos que les traen recuerdo del trauma. Tratan de evitar los pensamientos y los sentimientos relacionados con el acontecimiento. Aquellas cosas o situaciones que le hacen recordar la experiencia traumática pueden desencadenar síntomas de evasión. Estos síntomas pueden hacer que la persona cambie su rutina personal. Por ejemplo, después de un accidente grave de automóvil, alguien que generalmente conduce puede evitar conducir, simplemente decidir no conducir más, o montarse en un automóvil y tener sudoraciones, gritos, espantos. Hablemos un poco de estos síntomas. El síntoma de hipervigilancia y reactividad es aquel donde se sobresalta fácilmente. La persona se siente tensa o con los nervios de punta. Los síntomas de hipervigilancia suelen ser constantes. O sea, que no es una cosa que le dio hoy y le vuelve a dar 2 o 3 semanas después. No, constantemente la persona se siente así. Estos síntomas pueden hacer que la persona se sienta estresada y enojada. También puede dificultar las tareas diarias como dormir, comer, concentrarse. Otros síntomas, los cognitivos y del estado de ánimo, pueden traer problemas para recordar detalles importantes de la experiencia traumática. Los pensamientos negativos sobre ellos mismos o sobre el mundo. Se sienten distorsionados, llenos de culpa o remordimiento, cuando en realidad ellos no tuvieron nada que ver. La pérdida de interés en las actividades placenteras. Los síntomas cognitivos y del estado de ánimo pueden comenzar a empeorar después de la experiencia traumática. Estos síntomas pueden hacer que la persona se sienta aislada o distanciada de sus amigos o familiares, aun cuando ellos desean tenerle cerca. Después de un acontecimiento peligroso, es natural tener algunos de los síntomas que hemos mencionado. A veces estos síntomas pueden ser muy graves, pero desaparecen después de unas semanas. Esto se conoce como trastorno de estrés agudo. Sin embargo, si los síntomas duran más de un mes, afectan gravemente la capacidad de la persona para funcionar. Y esto no se debe a que estén consumiendo algún tipo de medicamento o sustancia o por alguna enfermedad física o ninguna otra cosa, sino que se deben por el trauma en sí. Y lo más probable es que la persona tenga el trastorno de estrés postraumático. A menudo, el trastorno viene acompañado de depresión, drogadicción en algunos casos, alcoholismo y uno o más trastornos de ansiedad. Los niños y los adolescentes pueden tener reacciones extremas. Pero es posible que sus síntomas no sean iguales que los de los adultos. Ojo con esto. En los niños muy pequeños, menores de 6 años, estos síntomas pueden incluir orinarse en la cama aun cuando el niño sabe ir al baño. Olvidarse de cómo hablar o no poder hacerlo, simplemente como si fuera mudo. Representar la experiencia traumática en el juego. Aferrarse de manera inusual a sus padres o a otra persona. Los niños más grandes y los adolescentes suelen mostrar síntomas más parecidos a los observados en los adultos. También pueden presentar conductas disruptivas, irrespetuosas o destructivas. Los niños más grandes y los adolescentes pueden sentirse culpables por no haber evitado o la lección, el problema, la catástrofe o simplemente la muerte de alguien. También pueden tener pensamientos de venganza. Ojo con eso. Para obtener más información de cómo ayudar a un niño con este diagnóstico, visite la página del Instituto Nacional de Enfermedad Mental, NIMH, por sus siglas en inglés. ¿Cómo ayudar a los niños y adolescentes a superar la violencia y otras experiencias traumáticas? El lugar de web, aunque voy a leerlo en voz alta, lo tenemos en pantalla. www.nimh.health-public-spanish-listing. Vamos a 2 minutos de comerciales y regresamos con ustedes. Manténganse en sintonía.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI,
the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life.
Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, late as usual. I have my master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor, and I am a licensed professional counselor with a practice here in Flemington. You can find more about me on the web at www.altarolecounselor.com, not .net, .com. So today my topic is about being a caregiver. And I'm going to say I am a caregiver. I have been taking care of my parents probably about 12 years. My dad had been diagnosed with emphysema, diabetes, and bladder cancer about 12 years ago, and I started to go with my parents to the doctor when he would go to the doctor. And part of that was so that I could get information in terms of what's going on, just because I know my mom was really stressed out and I wanted to provide support. Now, my dad had a remission in the bladder cancer, and then it metastasized to brain cancer. And so he decided not to get treatment for that, and he died about, I'm going to say about 9 years ago in 2011. It'll be 9 years in February. From that point, my dad's passing, I started to take care of my mom. Not that my brother didn't help, because I do have a brother. He's been very helpful. But I live within 15 minutes of my parents' house. So my mom stayed in the house for about a year and a half. It was really apparent that she could not manage it. And I started to take over all of her financials. So in terms of getting my father's, and these are things that you do as a caregiver, I'm giving caregiver. So things that my father's Social Security, getting that into her name, his pension, getting that into her name, getting her her banking and other financial things, getting my name either on them, being a power of attorney, meeting with the lawyer, meeting with the accountant, and getting that power of attorney, putting the house in a irrevocable trust. Now, an irrevocable trust, some of you go, what in the world is that? Well, basically, when we did that, it was called a 5-year look back period, which means the house got put in a trust fund under my name. And if my mother entered into a nursing home from the date of that trust fund, 5 years forward, they can look back and say, oh, look, it's been 4.5 years, we can still take the house. So I believe it's 10 years now in the state of New Jersey. So if you don't, if your parents have a house and they don't want to lose it to a nursing home or assisted living, that it's a good idea to put it into a trust fund. Now, the concern, because we tried to do that with my dad, was before my dad died, was, you know, his fear of us, you know, my brother and I throwing them out and selling the house. And I don't know. I don't know what the fear was exactly. And I think giving up control is a really difficult thing for our senior population. And especially our parents who have always been our parents. And to give control over to their children is a really frightening thing for them. But that was something that we did, is we put the house in a trust fund. And I'm going to say fortunately for me, on one hand, because my father did all the financial stuff for my mom, she really was more than willing to hand it over to me because it was more than she really could handle while she was also grieving my father's death, which she still is. I mean, it's her husband of... Now, you know, she would say 64, 65 years. No, more than that. Probably almost 70 years. Anyway, so then it was realizing that the house was too large of a place for her to maintain. An acre, over an acre and a half of wooded property. The house was already... 57, 58 years old. It needed work. It was moldy. There were a lot of problems. So, Mom, we convinced her, it's time to downsize. So we did move her, and she was more than willing. We went and out and we looked and moved her into a really lovely two-bedroom apartment with the hopes that maybe some point if she needed a caregiver, that a caregiver might be able to live there, which ultimately my mom did not want. But as a caregiver myself, you know, my concern for my mom's well-being, she drove and go grocery shopping, cooked for herself, did her own laundry, cleaned her apartment, even did some entertaining there. But at some point, we realized that even that was too much. We had gotten her one of those life alert buttons. She had fallen a couple of times in the tub, getting in and out of the shower, because it was not a walk-in shower. It was a tub. And even though there was, you know, brackets, whatever, she still was not very steady on her feet. And my mom was developing also something that is called... pulmonary fibrosis. Now, pulmonary fibrosis is a lung condition where over time her lungs, the lung sacs, the little, they harden and they can no longer take in oxygen and it can no longer exchange oxygen and pump with the heart and all of that. So her lungs are getting hard, which is really it's an awful thing to observe all of this. And so she went on oxygen 24/7. She had this concentrator in her apartment, and she had this long tube that she would wear, and she'd be able to get to all her rooms. And if she went out, she had an oxygen canister, which she would take with her. But then we had the fire in the kitchen, and that really was a huge red flag that it was time for my mom to maybe move to senior housing or into assisted living. Now, I'm going to say November, not only is it National Caregivers Month, it is National Assisted Living Month. So my mom and I went on a number of interviews, I'll say interviewing the program, not them interviewing her, and we did settle on a program that she really was excited about, and so we then moved her from her apartment into a two-room, sort of sort of like a little studio apartment kind of thing. So she had a little sitting room. She had her bedroom, her own bathroom, and a kitchenette. And as her caregiver, it was moving her. Now, again, this is now the second time we're moving her. And my mom's a little bit of a hoarder. I know people are going to go, a little bit. My mom's very neat and clean, and her hoarding was all nice and boxed. But we found, you know, tons of stuff cleaning out the house. And it was really hard for my mom to let go of things. And so one of the things that I worked really hard at was sitting down with her and saying, Mom, do you want this? Mom, do you want this? What about this? Do you think you need this? And she'd say, oh, give this to you know, my granddaughter. Give this to my grandson. Give this, you keep it. Or, you know, you give it to your brother. And so there was a lot of that. And I was very patient going through her china cabinet, her bookshelves, her jewelry, her clothes and closets, her shoes, everything. I went through everything with her to say what do you really need? Let's think about how much space you have, what furniture you're going to take. So we did that, and then we moved again from her two-room to a one-room because she said, I don't know why I need two rooms. I don't use two rooms. So we moved her to the one-room again. Every time my mom moves, I go through this. Do you need this? Do you need this? And then just a month ago, I guess maybe 6 weeks ago at this point, we moved her again, but to a new facility because my mom's money is running out and she will probably have to go on Medicaid in another year or so because these facilities are really expensive. So as a caregiver, not only do I do that, I call my mom every day and I see her, I visit with her once a week. I go shopping for her, buy her clothes, pick up any kind of personal items she might want, bring oranges and peanuts and whatever she requests. I've taken her out to get her manicures and pedicures, bring her over to lunch, take her out for pizza, you know, things that you would do either, you know, with your parent. And I've paid all her bills. I've been in touch with her long-term health care insurance, the Social Security, paying her checks. I have her representative payee account. I have her personal checking account. And I have the trustee checking account. So I've got three checking accounts that I juggle. And it's all the paperwork, paying the bills, seeing to, you know, what's going on, calling the doctor, making the doctor's appointments, taking her to the doctor, the dentist, the eyeglasses, calling the doctor when I notice things that are going on, such as her feet are, you know, ankles are swollen, so just talk to the doctor today. It is a job. And I think also depending upon, you know, your parent, your relationship with your parent, there does need to be detachment. There needs to be self-care on part of the caregiver. And there needs to be, you need to be able to get support. I'm going to just take a little break. I mean, usually, you know, you see I kind of use my iPad as a little reference tool. I'm just talking about my personal experience as a caregiver. November is National Caregivers Month, and it's also National Assisted Living Month. So I am Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor, your host for Counselors Chat, and I am going to return, if I could see where these commercials are, after a few short commercials. Stay tuned.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care, 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And I'm talking about being a caregiver. It is National Caregivers Month. It's also National Assisted Living Month. And my mom is living in an assisted living program. It's actually the second one that she's in. I really am very impressed with assisted living programs. My excellent friend works in an assisted living program. Her mom is a resident there. I've got cousins who've got their parents in assisted living. And they really do fine work. Does my mom complain? She does. She does complain. When she complains, I kind of learned. I don't react. I respond. So she'll say things like, the food was awful, and, you know, and then I ask her the next day, so, you know, how's the food? She goes, oh, actually, it was very good. She just, last night the green beans were not cooked right. Oh, okay, well, you know, I get that. You know, every meal is not going to be perfect. And she has all along, it doesn't matter which program she's in, either will say the food is fantastic, or sometimes she'll say the food is terrible, or she'll say this place is falling apart. And then when I explore it a little bit with her, there's maybe one incident that happens that she then exaggerates and makes it the whole thing terrible. But my job as her caregiver is to see to it that she is taken care of, that her medical issues are they keep on top of that, her medication, they keep on top of that, you know, that they're checking her, they're keeping an eye on her. They have exercise programs, they have arts and crafts and book reading and book clubs and church and rabbis come in and Bible study and movie night, and there's arts and crafts. There's so many things that that they offer for my mom to participate in. And where my mom is now, again, because a lot of it is a financial reason, she's living in a new program where she has, it's like a little apartment. She has her own bedroom with her own door. She has an apartment mate with her own bedroom and own door. They have a lovely little area for a little living room, a shared kitchenette, and a shared bathroom. And it seems to be working rather well. My mom is, you know, just fitting in. I talked with the doctor today, and that's a good thing. It is a relief to have my mom in a place where she is being looked after. They all have the same little buttons, like, you know, in case something were to happen, they were fall in their room, or they need help getting dressed, or whatever the issue. They have caretakers that are assigned to them. So I've got somebody that helps my mom bathe. There's somebody that helps her get dressed in the morning and helps her get ready for bed at night. And, you know, of course, the nurses are there to take care of making sure her oxygen is where it needs to be and her medications. And then there's the activities director who's always providing different functions and different things going on. And they've got afternoon beer and pretzels on Thursday and, you know, all kinds of little things like that, which really, I think, helps them not only socialize with each other, but feel like they're in a community and helps them not isolate so much. Because, you know, I think it's really sad that so many of our elders really are isolated. And that's just not healthy. So, as a caregiver, self-care is really important. So, one of the things that I need is I need time away. Okay, so that means my husband and I, we just looked at the calendar, maybe about last weekend, said, okay, where can we have some long weekends where we go away and where we're going to take a couple of weeks of vacation, one in the spring, one in the fall. So I need to get away. Now, even when I go, I still talk with my mom. But it's a good way for me to relax. Getting a massage, talking with friends, getting support from friends. There are support groups for people. They're all over, caregiver support groups. I am a member of a online caregiver support where I can, if I have a question or I'm concerned about something or I'm feeling frustrated, I can write something and I can get responses back from people around the country who may be having similar issues or are able to talk through things, such as, I've been trying, interesting, I mean, it was just the other day, I have been trying to get my mother a pair of shoes now for 2 years. Every time I buy her a pair of shoes, oh, these are nice. Mom, you're not wearing your new shoes. Yeah, they hurt my feet. Well, now I can't take them back because it's like 2 or 3 months. So I try again with a different pair of shoes. And, you know, like I just spent maybe about 3 hours going through catalogs and ordering some new clothes for her and see what happens with that. And it's being able to say, you know what, I need to order clothes for myself. I'm going to get a facial. I'm going to take a nice warm bath. Need to worry about, concern, think about my diet, my sleep, practicing mindfulness. So mindfulness is where I'm not thinking about what's going on with my mom, all day long. I'm focused on what I'm doing in the here and now. So right now I'm sitting here in the studio. I am talking to you. I've got the microphone. I've got blinking lights. I've got to keep my eye on the time. And so even though I'm talking about my mom, because that's the topic today as a caregiver, for the most part, I don't spend a whole lot of time really thinking about my mom, at least not that I'm aware of. But I do know I spoke with her this morning. I'm going to visit her this afternoon. I've got some things for her, some toothpaste. She's running out. And that's one thing I do. Like when I visit every week, I go through her cabinets. What does she need? I look, does she need bath soap? Does she need shampoo? What does she need? I kind of take a little tour and I write a little list. And so when I visit her every week, I keep her supplied and what she needs. And that's part of my grocery shopping. It's part of what I do. I'm not looking forward to starting the paperwork to get her on Medicaid because I think that's going to make my head explode. But that is part of my job as her caregiver. It was her birthday on Sunday. She just turned 89, and we picked her up and met my brother and his family at a restaurant and celebrated her birthday. So there are certain things that are just general everyday things that you do, you know, with your family. Celebrating mom's birthday, or, you know, taking her and out and getting a manicure and pedicure, going out and getting lunch together. You know, you do that with your mom. Anyway, it's the additional part of making sure she has what she needs, keeping on top of the doctors. My mom does have some dementia, so listening to her stories as patiently as possible, which sometimes those stories start with, "Did I tell you I had a bagel for breakfast this morning? Oh, that's nice." And then we talk about 2 minutes, and she says, "You know, I had a bagel for breakfast this morning." Oh, okay. So that's part of the process. So as a caretaker, it really is important for me to be patient. There are times when I'm on the phone with my brother going, ready to explode. And I want to say it's not even so much with her as much as with the different paperwork, you know, seeing to it that her income stream is being funded enough so that I could pay her bill for her long-term health care, and managing all of that minutia of stuff, paying her. She doesn't have a bill for her insurance, but she does have a small bill for her oxygen machine. She has a very small copay for her medication. She does have some credit cards, which, you know, we pay those. So, you know, I need to stay on top of when those payments are due and what's coming in, check her mail in her mailbox at where she lives. She's got a mailbox. And then also some of the mail comes directly to me. So there's that whole piece of making those phone calls or writing letters, going to the post office, contacting people, doctor's appointments. It's like having a child, except the child begins to grow up and starts taking care of these things for themselves. An elderly parent, or it might be an aunt or uncle that you're taking care of. It doesn't get better. It gets worse over time. Especially, my mom is a very very dependent person. So she depends on me a great deal, and I do my best to be as dependable as possible. And I'm not perfect. And when I'm not perfect and she gets anxious and upset, then my job is to detach. So detachment means sometimes I'll say, "You know what, Mom, are we going to do this sort of this? You're going to yell at me because I'm 15 minutes late. Well, if you're going to do this, I'm going to leave and I'll call you tomorrow. I'm not going to participate in that." Or, like I said, if sometimes she complains about something isn't right, I'm like, not going to react. I'm going to respond. I want to find out all the facts. Let's figure out what's going on before I rush down the hallway and yell at a nurse. Because my mom has rushed down the hallway and yelled at a nurse. And I understand that she is, my mom has always been an anxious person, but this is, she can't breathe very well. So her anxiety level is way up there. And I understand that. Having some good friends to talk to sometimes, because it is overwhelming, need somebody to talk to. So as a caretaker, to have people that you can talk to is really important. I have, I don't know, in my practice right now, maybe 3 or 4 clients that are seeing me specifically because they are so overwhelmed with taking care of an in-law or a parent, or an older brother, or something, so that they come in and they're just overwhelmed and they feel as if they have no time for themselves. And you know, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I feel as if I don't have any time for myself. I'm going to say there's a lot of times I'm not here on time because I'm doing something for my mom. I don't do things in my home as much as I would like to in that. Getting my house cleaned. My preference is cleaning my house once a week. I don't have time, so I have to make do with every other week. Cooking dinner. I do my best to take one day out of the week, and I cook for the week. So I'll buy a big package of chicken, and I'll make the chicken, and then breasts. I'll bake them in the oven, and then they're in the refrigerator, and I take them out, and I'll use them for whatever I need. Slice them up and cook them with some vegetables and spices and whatever, and you know, do that so that I've got things pre-made. The only thing I don't pre-make is vegetables, but they're so easy to just, you know, within 5-10 minutes, vegetables generally are pretty cooked. And so I work at doing that. Just like I said, taking even things for like lunches. Everything is sort of pre-made one day out of the week. And I can't always do that because sometimes life is really busy. Sometimes I rely on my freezer. So what does that mean? Well, if I'm going to make meatloaf, I will make 2 or 3 and put 2 in the freezer so that when I've got a super busy week, pull out the meatloaf or the stuffed peppers or whatever it was that I've made. Chicken soup, whatever. I mean, I love to cook, but I don't have the time to cook as much as I like. I also work. Obviously, I've got a private practice. And there are times I don't get home until 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. And when I do have those late nights, I will say, yes, we do stop. I do stop at Wendy's. I get a chili or we get a Caesar salad with chicken. You know, we don't have to buy the hamburger and fries. They do have healthy choices. I take a lot of vitamins, and I find that vitamins are really important because I don't want to get sick, I don't want to get a cold, I don't want to have a cold and go visit my mom and give my mom a cold, so I work at staying as healthy as possible. Sleep is extremely important, so for me, I need to have about 7 to 8 hours sleep a night, and I average about 7 to 8 hours sleep a night. When I get less than that, I don't do quite as well. I actually have somebody coming today to give me a quote on house cleaning because, as I said, I'm not able to keep up with it as much as I would like. Yard work, those kinds of things. Sometimes it is asking for help, especially if you can afford it. And don't be afraid to ask. Ask neighbors. You know, if there's neighborhood kids and you need some help, you know, can you mind watering my garden for me or something? These things are important. Exercise is important. Now, I have a friend who is on me all the time because I don't exercise, even though I say it's important. I find I really, you know, my time gets so limited between taking care of my mom, running a household, and running a business. My time is really spread thin. And the area that really gets the least attention for me is exercise. But I do have a Fitbit, and I do try to get my steps in for the day. Sometimes it means I'm walking in place in my office in between clients. But, you know, I do the best I can with all of the things that are on my plate. And I think that that's the thing that's important. If you have friends, get together with your friends. I've got friends. We get together. Sometimes it's once every 6 weeks, just get together, have dinner. Somebody is willing to listen to me, I'm willing to listen to them. These things are really, really important. So as a caregiver, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling burdened, learn how to detach. Practice mindfulness. Do things where you're taking care of your health. Statistics, kind of ending on a bad statistic, 67% of caregivers die before the person they're taking care of because we don't take care of ourselves. That's awfully high. So you really need, if you are a caregiver, you really need to give yourself that break. You can, if you have someone that you're, you know, an elderly person at home, you can put them into respite care in an assisted living program for a week while you go on vacation if you don't have anyone else to look after them. You can get a home health aide to help. Even if you are a stay-at-home person and you're staying with your mom or your father-in-law is living with you or whatever it is, you can still, you know, the insurance companies do pay. Medicare does pay for some assistance. So even if, you know, I need somebody to come once a week for 3 hours, well, I go get a massage, and I go get a facial, when I just need to go in for a walk and sit in the park or have coffee with a girlfriend, do it. Give yourself that break. It's really important. It's for your health and well-being. If you are not doing well, you're not going to be able to do the caregiving that you need to. So I hope this was a useful show. I'm sorry again, I'm late. I was on the phone this morning with my mom's doctor and things like that. So that's, you know, kind of what happens for me, and I'm okay with it. My preference would be to be here on time. I'm not. So stay tuned for next week. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so I will be talking about things that we are grateful for, I am sure. I am Ruth Altamirarol, your host. If you want to find more information about me, you can find me on the web at www.altarolcounselor.com. It's Altarol with two L's, counselor.com. You can follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook, or Ruth Altamirarol Counselor on Facebook or on LinkedIn. And give me a call at 908-237-2899 if you have any questions or would like to set up an appointment or have a suggestion for the show. Again, that's 908-237-2899. And I wish you all a good week and good mental health, and give yourself a break. If you are caregiving, take care of yourself first. It's very important. And I will talk to you next week. Good mental health.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamirarol, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.